Now we're going to open it up to questions from reporters. And reporters, we'd love to get your questions. Look on the bottom of your screen to the Q&A function and type in your question there. And then I will unmute you and you can ask your question. And let me just get our first question here. Joseph Winters, you have a question. I'm unmuting you. Joseph Winters from Grist, open up your, unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm a reporter for Grist, and just before this webinar, I was reading some previous reporting about Camera saying that it prohibits the use of community air monitoring data for regulatory or legal affairs. But the restrictions that you guys are describing sound much more extensive than that. So I'm curious if you can clarify, like, has the interpretation of the rule changed, or was that reporting like underselling what Camera was actually trying to do?
Nandan Joshi, do you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, sure. Our interpretation is based on the plain text of the statute. I think perhaps I haven't seen that reporting, but I think they maybe were trying to undersell what how extensive this statute how extensively it regulates private speech about air quality and air monitoring. I'll read you the actual text of the statute, which says it's designed to establish standards for community air monitoring programs operated by entities to ensure that the data collected from such programs provides the public with access to accurate air quality information. So it is clearly geared at information going out to the public, and the actual provisions of the law are not restricted to regulatory proceedings. There are some provisions of the law that do apply in the context of regulatory proceedings that regulate that talk about what LDEQ can do. But the law itself, as a whole, is both in purpose and effect, restricts private speech about air monitoring.
That's your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Okay, next we have a question from Hiroko Tabuchi, reporter at the New York Times. Hiroko, I'm unmuting you. Unmute yourself as well and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and thanks for this call and yeah, for taking this question. So I had seen that the Louisiana Chemical Association, which I understand was one of the backers of the bill, stated that the standards now required of community groups air monitoring were the same standards that industrial facilities were also required to meet with their own air monitoring standards. But I've also heard that that is not the case. Could you clarify what your understanding of that is?
David Bookbinder, do you want to try that question?
Sure. I'll take a shot at that one. First of all, this statute does not apply to industry. So industry is free to use the same equipment that the community groups are using and then, describe whatever the results are. So this law doesn't apply to them. It only applies to the community groups. If the Louisiana Chemical Association is referring to the equipment they have to use to monitor emissions from their facilities, yes, they're correct. It has to meet certain federal standards. But that is a completely different purpose than what community groups are monitoring for. If an industrial facility is emitting, chemicals from its smokestacks, it needs to have extremely accurate equipment to know exactly what is coming out of that. That's not the same as somebody in Louisiana, in a town in Louisiana, wants to test the quality of the air they're breathing. That's a completely separate issue. And as we've said, EPA and Congress have, EPA not only funds groups to procure this equipment, EPA actually loans this equipment to community groups to do the sorts of monitoring they need to do for simple air quality in their homes and neighborhoods, which is a completely separate issue from w measuring what comes out of an industrial f smokestack.
Got it.
Next,
Thanks. Yeah,
go
that makes
ahead.
sense.
Hiroko, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? You have another question?
Oh, no, that makes sense. Thanks very much.
Dr. Cardle, do you have any thoughts on contrasts or Nandan
Yeah. I mean,
Joshi?
all, following up what David just pointed out, I mean, an industrial facility that requires a permit has to follow appropriate steps to be allowed to emit those pollutants into the air and water in an area. And as such, as a for-profit entity, they're trying to make money by doing this. They should be required to use the best available measurements. And this is absolutely not the same thing for a community group seeking to understand what's in the air that they breathe and protect their health and their community's health. I also want to point out that when industrial accidents happen, all bets are off. The train derailment in East Palestine, non-regulatory approved measurements were used by contractors from Norfolk Southern to assess air quality and give information to residents during that whole incident. And so this is a situation that's outside of Louisiana where state or industrial entities use non-approved regulatory non-regulatory measurements to speak about air quality very openly and publicly. This was national news. And finally, just to kind of finish this thought off, I'm still not aware of facility level or state level publicly available measurement data on ethylene oxide in Louisiana, which again, in the river parishes, is the highest modeled cancer risk from regulatory models. And so until that sort of thing starts happening, people are in the dark.
Okay, thanks so much. Next question from Hallie Parker. I'm going to unmute you, Hallie, and remind us which news outlet you're with. Hallie Parker. You have to unmute yourself as well. Go ahead, Hallie. Oh, man, she might have a microphone issue. Hold on one second here. Hallie writes, has there been any enforcement of camera so far? Have there been any groups fined yet? David Bookbinder, any thoughts on that?
As far as we know, the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality has, which has the primary enforcement authority for camera, has not attempted to fine any community group for their monitoring.
Thanks for that. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes, yes.
Great. I'm with Verite News, and can I ask my second question,
Go
Tom?
ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This one was for Peter, and you might have said it and I missed it, but I was just wondering if the monitoring that you conducted for your ethylene oxide study and the other studies that you worked on in Cancer Alley, if that would be considered invalid under this law.
I am not a lawyer, but my understanding in talking with lawyers and reading some of the language, it says the parameters, equipment, and analytical methods, along with modeling or mapping software utilized for analysis of the monitoring data, shall use the most current Environmental Protection Agency approved or promulgated emission test or monitoring method. So the technology that we use to measure ethylene oxide was brand new. It was actually funded for development by EPA using a Small Business Innovative Research grant, but it was not the most current Environmental Protection Agency approved or promulgated emission testing or monitoring method. It was brand new. And this is the way science and technology works, is we develop new methods for making these measurements, we see how well they work, and then they eventually get brought into regulatory approval if they meet certain standards. So this process requires the use of these measurements in places like Louisiana to make these measurements in order to see how well they perform. And the fact of the matter is, they perform way better than the current regulatory approved methods by EPA. So, my understanding in reading the language is that it wouldn't be allowed, but that's really just anti-science, anti-technology, anti-progress.
And
Dr. Banner?
can I just also
Yeah.
respond to the purpose of the law is not only to prosecute, to punish us for communicating the data from our air, from our air monitors, but it's also to send a chilling effect, right? So the groups of us, we have not been, while there might not be any of us that are punished, we are taking precautions. Like we have a program that we were about to launch to start reporting the data and communicating the data from our air monitors. We have put a pause on that. So I think the reason why we are not getting the enforcement in our part is because we as groups simply cannot afford, $30,000 plus fines, up to $1 million in order to report our data to keep our community safe. So in one respect, the law has been unfortunately very effective. And, again, it's scaring us away from being able to share the data with our community members who need it the most.
Thanks, Joy. I wanted to ask a third question in order to get to that. So thank you for just saying it.
Kate Lamb, do you have a thought?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. The section that these enforcement mechanisms come from, these are largely designed for industrial fines for polluters, for companies that are intentionally putting things into the environment, whether that's dumping in the bayou or having an unapproved smokestack where they're or a flare where they're burning things off. That's what these fines are designed for. They're not designed for community members or citizens. It's designed to punish industry for polluting, not community members for reporting.
Thanks so much. No enforcement at this time, as of yet, but people are being changed in their behaviors. People are afraid to post their data, share their data to protect their neighbors. So it's having a huge impact already. Cynthia, do you have a question, a thought?
Yeah, I wanted to add on to what Joy said. Here in Southwest Louisiana, we were posting our information on Facebook and we were putting out flags in front of our office with the different colors of what the particulate matter was. And when we realized that we could be fined for that, we stopped doing it. So if, I don't think anybody has been fined because we're not doing it anymore because we can't afford to. So we have people who are, I mean, I have community members who say, "Why aren't you doing that anymore? Is it okay for me to go out and garden this morning?" Because they were relying on that to inform them about the air quality so they would know how to go about their day. And one of the things is that there is an air monitor, an LDEQ air monitor in our area that is our prevailing wind is from the southwest. This monitor is northeast of the plants that are blowing all this pollution on us. So it does absolutely nothing to protect us from or to give us information. And so the LDEQ puts up this wonderful thing saying your air quality is great today, when in actuality, it's only great if you're northeast of the metropolitan area of Lake Charles, Sulphur, Westlake, Mossville, this whole area. So it's very deceptive and leads to folks having problems with asthma and COPD on a regular basis.
Thanks so much. Our next question is from Virginia Guillen. Virginia, I'm going to unmute you and also unmute yourself and tell us what media outlet you're with.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm freelance. I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I'm just curious if Dr. DiCarlo's research has been curtailed by this law.
Dr. Carlo?
I think the easiest response is just we are continuing to and plan to keep on making measurements in Louisiana. Ideally, I think as I mentioned, this really should be done by regulatory agencies, but until that need is met, we will keep doing the work that we're doing.
Our next question, Amy Stelly, go ahead. You have a thought?
Yes, I wanted to add that, excuse me, our research is continuing, but we're just not publishing out of fear of being fined. And we definitely can't afford $32,500 a day plus the 1 million, which I'm sure, considering how Louisiana operates, that we would get slapped, and many of us would get slapped with the willful and accused of willfully publishing bad data. So the research continues, but we can't share it.
Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay, next is Corbin Ross. Corbin, I'm going to unmute you and unmute yourself and tell us what media outlet you're with. Corbin? Unmute yourself. Corbin writes, where does the law lay out the fines it will place on violators of the law? I don't know if either David or Nandan can specify. Where does the law specify the fines for violations?
The fines, so the law was codified in the, and I don't have the citations right in front of me, but in the section of Louisiana statutes that deal with air quality, before this law was enacted, the other provisions of that statute regulated polluters, industries that emitted air pollution, and had an enforcement mechanism for fining polluters that violate air quality standards. This statute, which now regulates air monitoring groups, was placed in that section of the statute. And so those fines that had been used to enforce air quality standards can now be used to enforce camera.
Okay.
Nandan, let me. I can give the citation. The penalty provision is Louisiana Revised Statutes, Section 30:2025.
Okay. Any final questions from reporters? If you have any final questions, put them in the Q&A there. While you're thinking of any final questions, I'm just going to repeat that anyone needs to do a stand needs a stand-up interview for television or for a for radio. Dr. Joy Banner is available at 1 o'clock today at a location with good visuals. Go ahead, Dr. Banner.
Hi, yes. Just lastly, I just wanted, to emphasize, especially, in respect to the Descendants Project, Amy and Cynthia that's on here in reference to our work that we are doing. We are still doing the work. And that work is not easy. It's not a science project, right? It takes, resources, it takes time, it's quality data, it takes training. We get trained. To be able to monitor the equipment, to be able to participate, right? And so now we are doing all of the work, and then now we're not able to share those results. So again, this is very, resource consuming for the most impacted and vulnerable communities that are here on the front line, and on the fence line of some of the most, again, dangerous, carcinogenic, harmful pollutants in the entire world.
And a violation of free speech rights. Americans have the right to talk about health threats in
Absolutely.
their neighborhoods, and to not allow that free speech is unconstitutional. Any final questions or thoughts? I think we have all of our questions. Okay. Well, if anyone needs more information or more interviews, or like I said, an in-person interview for TV or photos, you can reach me, Tom Pelton, at 443-510-2574 anytime, or email me at tpelton@environmentalintegrity.org. You can find a copy of the lawsuit on our website, www.environmentalintegrity.org. Thank you to
Tom,
everyone. Go ahead, David.
looks like there's an additional question in the
Okay,
Q&A.
excellent. Let's see. The final question. Hallie Parker. Okay. Hallie Parker, let me just unmute you, Hallie. 1 second here. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
No, okay. You could have read it. It's fine either way. But anyway, I was just wondering because the EPA, gave a lot of funding toward community air monitoring over the past couple of years. Is it y'all's understanding that the data collected by under those federally approved community air monitoring projects, those wouldn't be accepted and would also be punishable under this Louisiana law?
The
Good
law
question.
express oh,
Go
sorry.
ahead.
The law expressly applies to community air monitoring that uses both public funds and private funds, and it defines public funds to include federal funds. So, and there's no exception in the law for EPA air monitoring conducted pursuant to EPA grants.
Thank you.
Okay. Any final questions? All right. Well, if you do have any follow-up questions, feel free to call me. 443-510-2574. And thank you to everyone for taking the time to help us with our press conference today. We're going to put a video recording of this press conference on our website. And thanks to everyone and have a great afternoon.